and that you are about to get on board this cruise ship right there. Now, some of you have done that already in the last maybe month, that kind of ship, or some of you are planning on doing something like that. But imagine getting on that cruise liner, and you're going to go to the Western Caribbean. So the next slide shows you the various stops and the very places that you're going to go. And this is going to be an incredible, you know, time of adventure and exploration as it docks at various islands and you get to explore and all of that. And so as you're getting on this cruise ship, a couple thousand other passengers are getting on and getting oriented, finding their cabins and finding all the entertainment access that you have on this ship. And the crew is there and they're welcoming you and they're going to serve you. But what if you discovered that the ship would never leave port? What if going on a cruise ship was a bit of a ruse, a scam, and for the entire 7 days, the ship actually would be docked? Yet, you and your fellow guests could enjoy all the activities and adventures of the ship, and the crew members promised to provide you the most excellent A-plus kind of service. And so while you're on this ship, you get to go to Broadway-like kind of shows that are just top-notch, and then there's live music, top shelf, and there's parties galore that are on the deck, and that's awesome, and there's comedy that just is belly-aching kind of comedy. And then to end it all off, there's a spa, which you do every day. What might you tell your friends when returning home? Would you say something like this? We had a great time, but never went anywhere. Would you say, the view from the deck never changed in the 7 days, but we sure had a lot of fun. We built some great friendships. Or we never got seasick. That was the advantage. Or it was much safer staying in port, so I slept much better. I don't think anybody, I think absolutely zero people would say that. I think if you went on that kind of cruise ship and didn't go anywhere, I think 100% of the people on the boat, the passengers at least, would say that was a scam, that was a bust. Because when you get on a cruise ship, you expect to cruise somewhere. You expect to go somewhere and not sit docked, moored, stable without going out on the seas. Well, this morning, as we come to this one-off message, as we begin the new year, and we do this every January, a couple of messages, in this case, one message, just to kind of launch us into the year and to set some direction. Here are the questions that we want to answer this morning that have to do with direction. How are we going to get to where we're going? Where are we going? There's a pretty good question. How are we going to get there? Where are we going? And why go anywhere at all? Why not just stay docked? And I think those are good questions. I think those are great questions, for example, if you're new at Bethel and you're just still getting your feet wet. Those are great questions, because if I was trying to figure out what church I was going to go to, what corporate body, I'd want to know some of the answers to those questions, because the way those questions are answered might cause me not to stay, or they might cause me to stay. And they're good questions because, well, if you're a regular here, every year we're trying to push on various initiatives and sometimes we're successful and sometimes we're so successful and not so successful. And so if you're a regular, you need to know the answers to some of these questions, at least to varying degrees. And plus it's 2020, so we need 2020 vision. Now that's really corny, but I just thought I'd throw it out there. That's a really corny, I'm not going with that theme at all. But I think those are really good questions. But while you may not have a problem with some of those questions, you might have a problem, for example, with the image of the church. The church being likened to a cruise ship. I know if you were to ask the Apostle Paul and say, hey, Paul, what do you think of likening the church to a cruise ship? Well, what he wrote would suggest perhaps he would have a hard time with that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he's talking about gifts and all of that. And he says, now there are a variety of gifts, or varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And when you read that section of passage, 1 Corinthians 12, or if you read the whole chapter or the whole context, you'll discover that Paul doesn't have any idea of like what passengers and crew members. When you read that, you'd say, well, no, everybody's in the game here. There are no passengers. They're all crew members and participants. And so I think he'd have a problem with that. And I think he'd have a problem with the next picture too, which is you know, it's just me and Jesus, right? You get that a lot these days. It's just me and Jesus. I don't really like the church. I'm just in my own little boat, and I'm doing my own little thing. But I think Paul would have a huge problem with that as well. In fact, if you read the whole context of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, a lot of you know that, well, no, actually, what he does is he compares the body of Christ or the church to a body, a human body. And he says there are like ears and noses and eyes and feet, and we all work together, and there's a sense of interdependence, and we need each other. And so you'd say, yeah, he would have a hard time maybe with the cruise ship idea. Well, for our purposes this morning, we could talk about the body of Christ, but I thought maybe use another analogy to kind of get at the function and how the body of Christ is to work. And so here's the image that we're going to use this morning. It's the image of a canoe. I love canoes. Save on gas, right? Where everyone knows the answers to these questions in a canoe. And on this boat, the key word is not entertainment, but service. It's not wow me, but work me. It's not consume, but invest. And there is no us, them kind of mentality. There's no like passengers and crew members, but we're all invested in this thing called the local church. It's interesting, if you do research on cruise lines, the top shelf cruise lines, and some of you have been on these before, the top shelf, where you pay the biggest bucks, the ratio of passenger to crew members is unbelievable. One passenger for every 1.5 crew members. So that would mean if this was a cruise ship and on a, say, a typical Sunday morning at Bethel, there's 500 people that show up, that means we'd need 750 crew members. We'd need 750 people over here to service the 500 passengers to keep the passengers happy. But thank God the church isn't a cruise ship, right? It's more like a canoe. And so with that in mind, here's a little helpful image, at least for me. And someone said your paddle looks a little tarnished, needs some painting on it, but some stain. But the implication of what Paul is talking about is that everybody is to invest. Everybody has a paddle. Everybody is to be investing and working and figuring out what their contribution is in the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, Paul says this. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about spiritual gifts. And I think that's really good that he says that. And there's a specific reason in that text why he says that. But I think in light of our topic this morning, it's really good that he says that, because if somebody doesn't understand spiritual gifts and the nature of how the church is to function, they might think it is a cruise ship. And so what might happen is you might understand, no, it's not a cruise ship. It's more like a canoe. And so you might be there going, you know, you're paddling and you're working hard and you're busting your paddle, right? You're doing everything you can to invest in the local church, and the guy in front of you thinks it's a cruise ship and he's reading his iPad or she's suntanning or drinking the margarita. And what would you do? You could actually take this and turn it into a weapon, right? And say, look, this is not a cruise ship. This is a canoe. And we need people to invest. So the question is, this morning, as we understand that the church is something that we all invest in, how are we going to get to where we're going? That's one of the first questions. How are we going to get to where we're going? Well, you note the pronoun there. It's how are we going to get to where we're going? Not passengers asking crew members, but we. How are we going to get to where we are going to go? Several answers on that question, but I want to highlight just a couple that we highlighted actually last year that I think are really important as we begin the new year. And the text that we'll use to highlight this is in the next slide, and this is a very familiar text for a lot of you. And Paul says this, he says, but as you excel in everything, he's speaking to the Corinthians, in faith and speech and knowledge and all earnestness and in your love for you, and in our love for you, see that you also excel in this act of grace also. The word excel means to be outstanding. It means to distinguish oneself. Paul is writing to Corinthians. He's referencing the Macedonian churches in terms of their giving. And he is saying, just as they gave, so you too, Corinthians, need to continue to give and be faithful in that act of service. And he's saying, make sure you excel. Make sure you excel in faith and love and speech. That list could be absolutely exhaustive. But what he's specifically saying, make sure that you excel in this grace. The grace he's referring to is the stewardship of financial resources. Now, we would believe that there's a stewardship of your time and your talents, but Paul is getting at this very specific issue of stewardship of your finances. Make sure that you excel in this area. And see, this is really important, that we excel in all areas, because this is not a cruise ship. See, if I was a service person on the ship, and passengers were coming, and I was a crew member, as people would come onto the ship as passengers, I wouldn't really care what their talent and skill was, right? They're passengers. I don't care if you can sing. I don't care if you have administrative gifts. I don't care if you have the ability to serve well. It doesn't really matter to me, because you're a passenger. But if I'm working with the crew members, if I'm on the platform, you know, doing the Broadway thing or the comedy act, and I need a light guy or a sound guy or whatever it is, that really matters. I really care about other crew members' talents and abilities, because we're going to work together to make it happen. But the passengers, it doesn't really matter. See, Paul, when he writes this, there's no passengers. He's not talking about, there are no passengers at all. It's really important that everybody that reads that, that's part of the church, understands that's really important, that we all excel, whether in faith, love, speech, whether we all excel in financial stewardship, whatever the area is, because none of us are passengers. All of us are crew members. And we get to contribute. So it's a huge issue. And so if we were to answer the question this morning, how are we going to get to where we're going? One of the answers, amongst many answers, but Paul's answer, part of his answer is, the way you excel, the way you move ahead is, we need to, as we talked last year, we pay it forward. Paul understood that in order to advance the church and to advance the cause of the church, the ministries of the church, it's pretty straightforward. You have to pay it forward. But let's be honest here. How difficult is this? Imagine, you know, here I am in my canoe. I'm going to act this out. I'm a really good actor. And so we're supposed to pay it forward, you know, to advance the church. How hard is that, to pay it forward? You know, Martin Luther said that when someone comes to faith in Christ, some of you will know this line, that there need to be two conversions. The conversion of the heart, and you know the other conversion? The conversion of the pocketbook. Because it's really hard. Sometimes financial stewardship is really, really hard. Another writer said this, that if you really want to know the condition, the spiritual condition of a person's heart, then just check out their finances, what they do with their money. Jesus had a lot to say about money. This can be really, really hard. In fact, so hard that sometimes we might do little lily dips, you know, like, oh, just, you know, a little there, I'll give a little here. Sometimes we might do a half a stroke. Sometimes we might get really consistent, and then we forget. Sometimes we'll just get lazy, and we'll do this. And sometimes we might even hide the paddle. What paddle are you talking about, right? This can be really, really hard. But there's another interesting thing about this whole issue of stewardship is, and paying it forward, is everybody's paddle is of a different size. Now you're gonna like this. I have another paddle, you see? My dad actually made this paddle. And as I understand paying it forward, like spiritual gifts, like a lot of things in life, right? Everybody has different size paddles, and based on resources, and some of us have larger paddles than others, and Some of us have really small palates. I mean, it's our resources. And sometimes what happens, right, it happens in spiritual gifts and lots of different areas and finances, it can happen in a number of areas, is that the person with the big paddle looks at the guy with the little paddle and wonders why maybe they're not giving more, or the little person feels threatened by the person with the bigger paddle, and all this kind of unhealthy stuff goes on within community. But there are different size paddles. In fact, Paul talks about that, right, in that passage in 2 Corinthians. And I think we have it on PowerPoint. This is what it says. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their paddle size, right? Their means. As I can testify, and actually beyond their means, of their own accord. And so one of the answers to the question of how do we advance the church and how do we move the church forward, and Paul would understand, well, on a very practical note, it's you pay it forward, an unpopular topic at times, but you pay it forward, and with large paddles and small paddles. And so on this note this morning, this is the final thing I want to say on this. I want to say a huge, grand thank you to so many of you who have had your paddles in the water this year. Big paddles, little paddles. Because we have had an excellent year in financial stewardship at Bethel. And so this next chart, it's pretty self-explanatory. I think you can read all the numbers there. I'm gonna pause here for just a second. Some of you saw that a couple of weeks ago when Dave Dempster was up here. I wanna thank Dave Dempster and his team for finance or for stewarding this area, managing this area. I want to thank all of you who have had your paddles in the water, big paddles, little paddles. I want to thank the staff for keeping our expenses actually below budget. And I want to encourage us all to excel this year as we pay it forward. And if you're not helping pay it forward, then just go to our website. There's a little box there on how you can get involved in stewardship. How are we going to get to where we're going? This is basic stuff, right? A lot of you are saying, I've heard this before. You have, you're right. We need to pay it forward. But let's get the second answer to the question. And as we do, looking at this picture, I think we could have some problems with that picture of the church. It's not a perfect picture, but we could have some problems, right? Because that picture could perhaps suggest what? It could suggest perhaps that, well, you know, the more paddles we get in the water, the more effort we give. We need big paddles, we need little paddles, we need lots of people, we need men and women, young and old. We need everybody to have their paddle in the water. We need to paddle hard, and we need to paddle consistently, and we need to pay it forward, and we're going to do this, and we're going to go faster than ever, and we're going to be stronger than ever, and we're going to be more committed than ever. But do you see the problem? That picture could lead to a kind of a sense of self-reliance. That we can do this. But what happens if the waters we have to paddle through, the currents we have to go against, the white water that we'll encounter is far above our pay grade, our paddle grade? How many of us in our own personal lives feel like we need more than just a strong stroke to get us through what is up ahead? How many of us realize that life presents challenges to us that dwarfs our paddles? How many of us are grateful for the paddle we have, but realize it's insufficient to deal with all that we have and all that we're confronting? Some of us this morning would say, you know, God, I am in my boat and I am paddling hard as a parent. I am paddling hard in my job. I am paddling hard in a friendship. Whatever the scenario might be, you might be giving it all that you've got, every ounce of your energy to help advance whatever the situation is in your life. But you might say something like this, God, I am paddling as hard as I can go, but I feel like I'm going backwards. I feel like I'm not going anywhere. What does a church sound like when it understands that there has to be more to the church than just our human effort to let's pay it forward and let's excel in faith and love and speech? No, we have to, but there has to be more. There has to be something else that energizes us, right? What does a church sound like that understands that? Well, perhaps in Acts chapter 4 on this next slide. And we can see there, in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John have just been released. And we read these words. And when they were released, or what verse are we starting at there on the screen? 29, I can't even see that. Anyways, it's a small on my screen. And now look, Lord, look upon the threats. And so they're sensing whitewater, right? Massive whitewater. Look upon the threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Grant to us that ability, Lord. While you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Oh, did the early church have their paddle in the water? Absolutely. Were they paying it forward? Were they using their gifts to move it forward? Absolutely. But they understood, God, unless you empower this whole deal, we're done. And then as we saw earlier this morning, as Amanda started us off in Exodus chapter 33, what does a church sound like? What do leadership sound like when we understand our insufficiency? See, we need not only to pay it forward, we need to pray it forward. And sometimes as we pray it forward, that can be hard too, right? The analogy still works, right? We have a hard time sometimes being consistent in praying. Prayer is hard, as we were reminded in the CrossFit series. It's difficult to be consistent. And sometimes it's very easy to say, and Lord bless John, Billy, Sue, and Mary, I'm done. It's sometimes very hard to like pursue and to go after prayer in community and in isolation and in as an individual, and to really seek the heart of God and ask God how to even pray into situations. Sometimes we don't have a lot of stamina. Sometimes we don't have a lot of courage or a lot of strength. It's so easy to put the paddle down, or it's so easy to put the paddle aside. And I think in the area of prayer, as in the area of paying it forward, there are different sized paddles. There are some people who are called to a ministry of intercession and have a real deal for that and a real calling to that. And they got a big paddle. And there are others that pray, but their paddle isn't as big, and that's okay. But the point is that all of us are called to pray and to advance the church, not on our own strength, but on the strength of God. So to help us move forward in this area, this is what we're going to do in the month of January. We want to focus in on prayer. And so for every Sunday after each service, we'll be handing out a way of praying for the church, praying for yourself, praying for the church. And it's going to be hard work, because some of you are going to walk out of here and we're going to hand it to you and you're going to go, yeah, whatever. And because it's hard, right? You're going to forget about it. It's hard. But we want you to take that handout and we want you to stick it on your fridge or on the dashboard of your car, or take a picture of it and put it in your digital documents, and we'll come up and remind you. And so each week we'll have a handout and you can pray into those areas and pray as a life group, pray as an individual. And here's the other thing. It's just a launch pad. It's a beginner's tool. What we want you to do is we want you to pray, but then we want you to seek God and say, God, here are the areas that I've been asked to pray in for the church. How do you want me to pray? How can I go after this in specificity? What is it that you're burdening my heart for on these issues? Because there might be a particular way that God wants you to pray, or there's a particular issues that God speaks to your heart about those issues. So just use that as a launch pad. And then after each week that we give out a handout, at the end of the month, we're going to do neighborhood prayer. And so we're going to have a number of host homes in Kingston and beyond Kingston, beyond to the regions beyond where people drive into Kingston, have host homes, end of the month, somewhere around then, where people gather in houses and for potluck of some kind, and then prayer. Praying for God to work in our neighborhoods where we live, for God, the Holy Spirit, to do something unusual in 2020. So, how are we going to get to where we're going? We need to pay it forward. We need to pray it forward. Secondly, and very briefly, where are we going to go? That's a good question, right? Where are we going? Now, I'm just going to give you these four areas, four slides. I'm going to read these to you, and this is what you're going to get when you leave this morning. These are four areas that are not so much vision issues, but more of our strategic ends and some of our common areas of faithfulness that we just want to see some advancements in, and we really need you to pray on these matters this year. And so let me give you the first one, which I think is probably the top priority here, youth. Parents, you should be going, yes, glad to see that. We're currently looking at hiring a youth pastor in 2020 that will build on all that Ruth Gaucher and our leadership team are doing this current ministry year. We're looking at other church models, doing lots of investigation and research, and with our understanding our rapidly changing culture, which is informing how we are moving forward. And so we will be posting a number of documents in January on about 15 sites and getting the word out. This is really, really important to us. And as parents, I know it's really, really important to you that we continue with strong leadership as Ruth and her team lead, and then as we transition to our next youth pastor. We have an advisory team in place that will process applicants, but can I say we need lots of paddles in the water on this? Okay, lots of paddles, big paddles, small paddles to advance. Second area is worship. With worship, we are primarily thinking of corporate worship expressions. We believe that worship is an essential, healthy mark of the healthy church, of a healthy church. And that in genuine, biblically centered worship, God does a great work. We are looking to hire a part-time worship pastor that will join our team and help us expand our worship vision. We need lots of paddles in the water on this one. We need to pray it forward. We need to pay it forward. A lot more could be said about that, but I'm just giving you high-level stuff here. And we really believe worship is such an essential part as we talk about it, as we gather. Third area, campus, college and university. One of Bethel's primary missions is to college and university students. And while we continue to partner with current campus ministries, we are looking to reach students who have no spiritual background and who do not engage with campus ministries. We desire to be a safe place for students to find faith. We need lots of paddles in the water, small paddles, big paddles. Lots could be said about this, but this is actually a strategic end that came to us a number of years ago from a large group of people that got in a room, about 110 people, some of you were part of it, and we talked about where is God leading us, and then that went to the elders, went to the staff, and this was a strategic end that has sat for a number of years actually saying, we need to do something here, we don't have the resources to do it, we do now have the resources to do it, and we need to advance more aggressively in this area. Lots could be said there. Final area, international missions. Missions is part of Bethel's DNA. Bethel has engaged on several international mission initiatives over the last decade. The two most predominant are Honduras, which was a five-year commitment, and most recently adopting our refugee family in partnership with Bay Park. Currently, a new team has been established to assess and identify our next international focus. So we need lots of paddles in the water on that as we pray it forward, as we pay it forward. There's going to be a trip this March, I believe it's in March, to Honduras. Some of you will be going on that. But we are seeking God. What is the next international focus that God has for us? Perhaps multiple things that we'll go after as we seek to do what we believe Jesus wants us to do. So those are going to be on your handouts. We want you to pray into those. And if God speaks into your heart, and if you just sense that God is, you know, wanting you to share something, do that. Share that with us. You know, that you're not going to get shot at. Thank you for that. Thank you for that insight. Thank you for that helpful comment that you've made. That will be very helpful to us. So the final question is, why are we going anywhere? How are we going to get to where we're going? Pray it forward. Where are we going? Those are four areas. I could have highlighted 10 areas, but those are four. And why are we going anywhere? Why don't we just stay docked? Why don't we just hunker down, right? Simple answer to the question, it's because we're not in charge. That's why. I'm not in charge, and you're not in charge. The Christ is in charge. It's really, really simple. And so we are committed to doing what Jesus wants us to do. Make disciples of all nations, and to go and make disciples. That's really why we do it. Why are we moving out? Why are we trying to advance? Why are we trying to invest? Why are we doing? Because Jesus doesn't want the church to stay docked. We need to go on a cruise. And we need to continue to do the things that we're doing, and we need to do them better and we need to start some new initiatives that are actually in line with the heart of Bethel, which is discipleship, which is a big word that encompasses a lot of things. And you know, I love this imagery of the canoe, because if any of you have canoed before, you'll know that anybody in a canoe, yes, they have a paddle in their hands, right? And if you're in my canoe and you don't have a paddle, then get out and swim, right? Because you're supposed to have a paddle. It's a canoe. It's a church, right? And what I remember from canoeing lessons at Camp Iowa as a kid growing up was the guy in the stern, the person in the stern directed the canoe. And we were taught different strokes. If you're in the stern, you direct the canoe. But if you're in the bow or in the middle, you're just powering the thing forward, right? You're just giving power to that canoe. But if I was in the bow and I was trying to redirect and go, hey, I think we need to go over there, and you got to be careful, I don't have these trays, but you know, that would be wrong, because no, the guy in the back, he or she sets the direction. And so Jesus is our director. He's in the stern. He's got a paddle too, right? And he steers the ship. He steers the canoe. His paddle is to give direction. Our paddle is to energize and to give focus to the direction he wants to take us. It's not my job to say, let's go over here. No, it's our job to say, God, where do you want us to go? And then now let's empower that vision that Jesus is giving to us. So as a way of acknowledging his headship and our surrender to his leadership, we are going to participate this morning in communion. And we want to take some time this morning in communion, not just to kind of rush through. Communion this morning is not an add-on, never is. It's not like, okay, the service is over, now we just have to do the bread thing, do the juice thing, and we're out of here. No. we need to practice a little bit of praying it forward this morning as we come to this table. Communion reminds us of the presence of God, present in the body of Jesus, and now present via the Holy Spirit. And it reminds us of the provision of God. Communion reminds us of the presence of God, and the provision of God, not just at salvation, but for every moment that will follow salvation, he provides. And so this morning we're going to come into this time prayerfully, in a heart of worship, and as we move through this communion time, we're going to brag to the spiritual realm. We're going to boast in our worship this morning of how powerful Jesus is. And that he's the one that is steering the ship. He's the one that will provide. He's the one that will direct us. And that he's the one that will make a way. We're going to brag about God, okay? In our worship, and declare who's in charge. This table is a reminder of his presence and of his provision. So will you right now just block out anything that might be hindering and distracting you and agitating you? Maybe you don't like the paddle thing. Well, find another analogy, right? And just open up your heart to God now in terms of what he would want to do as we move into this time of communion. I'll invite the greeters in just a few moments as we partake of the bread. So will you join me in prayer? Father, this morning as we partake of the bread and juice, we're reminded that you are not a God that is far off, but very near. You have not chosen to reside above and beyond your creation, but have chosen to be with us always, even to the end of the age. And as we move into 2020, we come before this table as a reminder of your provision and presence. Provision through the life, death, resurrection of Christ, and presence by the indwelling of your Holy Spirit that enables, energizes, directs, guides, and empowers. For our very personal and private issues, we come and we celebrate your provision, acknowledge your provision and your presence. And we ask that in 2020, our lives, our homes, our relationships, our ambitions, our hurts, our pains, our joys, our victories would be places where we experience your guiding, comforting, empowering presence and provision. We have our paddle in the water, Lord, to do our part. But we need you to lead us in all the various roles that you have called us to fulfill. So, Lord, we invite you, direct us, heal us, strengthen us. Lord, we give you permission right now to show us anything that might compromise and hinder your manifest presence in our private lives or in our life together as a church. And we confess. And we say to you this morning, Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So can we just take a moment of silence this morning? And if there's anything on your heart and that you need to confess to the Lord this morning, anything that would compromise your personal walk with Christ, anything that you just need to say, God, this is not right, what's going on in my life. This issue is wrong. I need to say this is wrong to you this morning. I need to confess this. I need to repent of this. Will you do that now? It is so important that as we hold the paddle and as we do our part, whether it's in our families or whether it's in our businesses, whether it's in the church, as we think of the church, pay it forward, pray it forward, that we have integrity, that we have rightness and soundness of mind, and that we are in a posture of surrender.